Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. I'm interviewing Sophie Stiles today. Sophie is a manager at an iconic family-owned jewellery company called Boodles. Some of you may have heard of it, but if you haven't, then do look it up on Google, B-O-O-D-L-E-S, and you will see some beautiful jewellery there, which I'm sure whether you are male or female, you will really enjoy looking at. And she's worked her way up really, really well in this company. I think she's been there for about 6 or 7 years, she'll explain it. And I personally met Sophie when I was a client of Boodles, and what really struck me was the degree of customer service that she personally offers, but also everybody in that company offers. And so I'm really interested in not only finding out about her career history, but also how they achieve that level of client service to the point where, as a client, you genuinely feel that you are friends with that person who, at the end of the day, you know, could be regarded as a salesperson. And yet, you know, you do make genuine relationships with them. So I'm intrigued by that. Sophie, thanks so much for joining us. And we are going to talk about retail, and in particular, high-end luxury retail in the jewellery industry.
Yes.
So, and you're actually not new to broadcasting, because at the age of four, you were on television, weren't you?
Yes, I was on an Irish television programme called School Around the Corner, presented by Gerry Ryan. And I think I was chosen as a relatively precocious four-year-old who would say anything.
So this was a programme which featured children that would say anything?
Yes, pretty much. They featured a local primary school every week, and they generally quizzed you about your life. And I think I told a story about that he asked me where my favourite place to go on holiday was, and I said Greece, because in the afternoons your parents can send you to creche so your mummy and daddy can have a nap. It was mortifying.
Oh, sweet. Well, okay. Well, hopefully you feel free to say anything on this podcast. So what I'd like to do is to start off by hearing about your journey, really, from when you were at school through to what you do now. And, you know, in particular, tell us about any work experience, things like that, what you were thinking about careers as you progressed.
Yeah. So I grew up in Northern Ireland. I went to a really fantastic primary school, and I moved to secondary school in year 2000. I didn't go to the school that everybody else went to. My parents encouraged me to pick what was right for me, and I went to the local convent school, which was absolutely wonderful school, very academic, and really full of teachers who push you to strive to do your best. It was an A-grade kind of school. Everybody went to university. I mean, as we've discussed, careers advice is not prevalent throughout schools, generally speaking, and we were all encouraged to study pharmacy at Queen's University so that we could work part-time as women.
That's interesting, actually, because quite, you know, the school that you went to is actually unusual, you were saying, and but you were lucky to be supported by great parents and very independent thinkers, actually, who encouraged you to do the same and to choose the school that you liked.
Very much so.
And I think what we'll see is that that sort of has really supported you through your career throughout. Funny you said about the careers advice relating to doing a job that then enabled you to become part-time. So you were advised to do this particular course at uni, but what happened?
I decided, I applied for, at the time, law was very du jour, and I thought it sounded like quite a good idea. I had absolutely no idea what a law degree entailed. I think at school I was very, I was academic, but in sort of languages, history, English, that kind of thing. And I applied for law and French at maybe six different universities on UCAS. I got rejected from every single one of them, mainly because at GCSE I had three B grades. Everything else was an A, but having received a little bit of feedback from a couple of British universities, they said, really sorry, you didn't get all A grades at GCSE, and that's that.
And how did you feel at that point?
A little bit gutted, but a little bit still unsure of where I wanted to go. I think I was probably, I had a tendency to be quite homesick as a teenager, so I liked being close to home, I liked being near my family. I knew that I probably didn't want to go to Belfast. I wanted to expand a little bit further. My parents said, if you need to come home every weekend, we'll buy you a flight. Don't let it stop you. But I ended up applying on the Irish system, which is called CAO.
It's and that's an alternative to UCAS?
Yes. So that's just solely for Irish universities. But the huge advantage is that you don't have to produce a personal statement. So you're not selling yourself down one role when you want to apply really for 10 courses.
And you're allowed to then apply for lots of different courses?
Whatever you like.
And can England-based people apply there?
Yes.
So that's definitely an alternative to UCAS, isn't it?
Yes. A lot of English people at the university I went to.
Right.
So I ended up studying French and Spanish at Trinity College in Dublin, which was really wonderful. It was a very interesting 4 years. It was 4 years of growing up, of living on my own, yet still being close to home. I didn't go home that often after first year, but it was a bit of a safety blanket, and it did give me the ability to spread my wings without being too far away.
And during school and university time, I was asking you earlier about work experience. You did do a bit of work experience, but you also had a love of horses, or still do, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I was really lucky when I was younger. I had a couple of horses, and I worked on the yard where my horses lived. A great friend who's a producer of young horses, and I groomed for her at the weekend, so I would be up pretty much every Saturday and Sunday at five, and we'd set off and drive all around the country, and it was really fantastic. It was hard work, it was something I enjoyed, but it was great. It was a fun couple of years.
And you did some other work experience as well?
I did a little bit of time on a local newspaper, which led to nothing really, but it was a good week to spend with some professionals.
And then when you finished university, were you sort of any clearer as to what it was that you wanted to do?
Absolutely not.
Right. So tell us about that. What happened after uni?
I graduated in 2010. I didn't really know what to do. And my parents said, start with something that you like doing. And I loved cooking. It's still a passion. One of my favourite things to do is spend a day off creating a dinner party and seeing friends and feeding people. Yeah. At the time, my mum suggested 3 months at the Ballymaloe Cookery School, which is world-renowned, run by Doreena Allen and her brother Rory O'Connell, who are real pioneers in the food world. They've achieved all kinds of things, and they're really inspiring people to spend time with. So I spent 3 months there. It was really fantastic. It opened all kinds of doors. I met all kinds of interesting people. And when I came back, I thought, perhaps I'll do something in food. So I spent a little bit of time doing some work experience with quite a well-known Irish chef in his restaurant. It was great when I came straight from cookery school, and he asked would I like to come back when they reopened after Christmas. I spent a couple of weeks dreading it, and I didn't really know why. And I went back, and I really didn't like it. They were so kind to me, they couldn't have been nicer, but I just knew that it wasn't for me.
For you. And work experience, I always say, is very, very useful, whether you love it or hate it. Because, you know, if you do hate it, it's just a process of elimination, and it's great to get that out of the way early on.
Yeah.
So you decided that really wasn't for you, although obviously you've got these great cooking skills, so I have to take advantage of that at some stage.
Yes.
What next then?
In between university and doing the cookery course, I had worked for my dad. I come from a long line of jewellers. We have a family business in Northern Ireland. I'm fifth generation. And I had spent 4 months in between. He had a few people on my maternity leave and asked would I like a job. I said yes please, and I loved
it. You wanted this job really for the money, not because you really fancy it. So your dad had been doing this for all these years, but it never entered your head that it might be something you want to do?
No, I'd spent the old Saturday there as a teenager, and I'd done bits and pieces if they needed an extra pair of hands, but no, not at all. But I was welcomed warmly by his team, which was really nice. And I spent 4 months there during the summer. I went off to do my cookery course, and I had a sort of epiphany moment when I wasn't going back to this restaurant. My mum said, well, what are you going to do? And my whole life I haven't been allowed to quit anything. I've always had to keep going, be it piano lessons or tennis lessons or, you know, going to the dentist.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, you know. So when they feel that they're going to quit something, it's really, really tough because they've just never done it before. Sometimes it's just as hard to quit something
as it is to sort of start it, isn't it? And you sort of feel like, well, I can't now because what's everyone going to say? And
exactly.
It just goes against the grain, doesn't it?
Well, I was 23 and my mum said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go back and work for dad. And she said, okay. And a couple of weeks later, I went with my dad to Bâle Watch and Jewellery Fair, which happens in March every year. And it's where watch companies and jewellery companies will preview their new collections. It's a really big deal. It's pretty mind-blowing. And I thought it was the most fantastic place I'd ever been to.
Well, isn't it amazing you'd not done it before?
Yeah. I've been surrounded by it my whole life. I loved it, and I came back and my dad said, right, well, if you're serious, you need to do some qualifications. So I looked up the options, and I ended up studying at the British Institute of Gemology. I did a qualification called the FGA, which is a gemology qualification. So you study gemstones and diamonds, and it was pretty science-based, not what I'm usually good at. So it was I did it in a year, and I worked part-time alongside. I did it in London, which was exciting, and it was great to move to a bigger city. And by the end of that, I had, you know, another qualification under my belt.
And you were doing that sort of part-time evenings, or...?
I did during the day, so you can do it evening, you can do it distance learning. But I did it Monday through to Thursday every week.
Great. And then you worked sort of weekends or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, and so once you've done that qualification, you now have some experience with your father's company.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit more about that.
Afterwards, again, I sort of reached an impasse of, well, what am I going to do now? So my dad had spent some time working at Boodles when he was 17. Boodles used to run an apprenticeship for Sons of Jewellers.
Can you tell us a little bit about who Boodles are?
So Boodles is a company I currently work for. It's a very old family business. It was started in Liverpool in 1798. I believe they're onto their sixth generation of the family, and it's still family owned, which is unusual in luxury jewellery these days. But he did an apprenticeship, I suppose, with them, you would call it, for 3 or 4 years in the northwest of England, and came back then to run our family business. But he's always remained in touch with my now chairman and managing director. And he wrote a note and said, would you mind having a chat to Sophie about what her options might be going down the line? And I made a phone call to Nicholas Wainwright, who's our chairman, and I was terrified. It was the first sort of professional phone call I'd ever made. I was sort of quaking in my boots. And he said, yep, we'll meet for a coffee. So we did. And he said, right, well, when can you start? We'll give you some work experience. I thought, right, okay, well, should I quit my current job? And he said, yes. And I said, okay. And I started a couple of weeks later. I spent a little bit of time in Harrods, which was fantastic. I mean, there's nowhere better than Harrods to cut your teeth. You're surrounded by, you know, 30 or 40 of the world's best jewellers. You're surrounded by luxury.
So this is Harrods in central London.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating. And then I moved. I worked for a little bit of time in Sloane Street. I worked at the Royal Exchange. And then I moved back to Harrods again when the store got a little bit bigger. So I sort of got a bump up the ladder about a year in, which was great.
And I think, you know, people may sort of say, oh, well, you know, of course, because she knew about jewellery and it was a, you know, dad knew about jewellery and everything. But, you know, as you say, it wasn't something that you pursuing all of the time until you were 23. It didn't even occur to you. And then your dad made this intro. But I want to really make the point here that, you know, people listening may not have a father who works in an industry that they've decided they want to go for, but they will know someone who knows someone who knows someone. And what you didn't have then was probably the massive network on Instagram and Facebook that everybody else has now, and that, you know, so if for example someone wants to work in an industry, you know, there was no guarantee that you would get that job. All you needed was that intro, and so people can very easily place on their social media, I am interested in working in XYZ industry, does anybody know anybody that I could speak to? That's all you're asking for, and then after that it's up to you, isn't it? So, you know, your dad sort of made that connection, but then it was up to you to prove yourself. Anyway, you didn't end up staying at Harrods because you did start to quickly work your way up, didn't you?
I mean, I would say I was in the right place at the right time. I'd spent 2 years there under an amazing manager and assistant manager. We're still very close friends, and they were very supportive, and a role opened at the Savoy Hotel. We have a boutique there. And I was offered the job, which was enormously exciting. I think I was 27, quite young to be a manager. It was a, you know, standalone shop within a hotel. The Savoy is probably one of the most famous hotels in London. It was a little bit daunting. I had a fantastic all-girl team. We'd never worked together during our times in other shops. So we were sort of thrown together and told to go for it. And they are probably some of the most amazing girls I've ever worked with. We all had our eye on the prize. We knew that there was a lot expected of us. And, you know, if we failed, people would say, well, that's it. But we knew that if we could succeed, it would be something quite special.
So you had a great sort of team.
We had a fantastic
bond,
team.
Really, yeah. Okay, well, so tell it, and that's really where you were until just quite recently. You got married and moved across to Dublin.
Yeah, which has been really nice. I mean, our company has been incredibly supportive of my decision to be a bit closer to home, which is nice. But I think all the experience that I've had in London has really played a part in, you know, moving my role to where it is now.
So tell us a little bit now about a typical day for you, Sophie, in this role.
So we start off at 9 o'clock. We put the windows in the morning.
What does that mean?
That means we...
Not physically put the windows in. Yeah.
We take the stock from the safe every night and we sort it out. So we probably take a different window each day and we'll arrange the jewellery in the window. So we'll do that for probably takes most of an hour. We'll have a look, make sure everything looks shipshape, and then we'll have a communication meeting with our team. So we'll go through the diary for the day. Everybody will take a turn and let us know if they've got any appointments coming in. I think one of the most important part of our job is knowing each other's clients. You know, these are people who are spending a lot of money with us. We also spend a lot of time with them. So we'll have our own individual customer base. And really, they're more like friends. We spend a lot of time with the people that we see.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the things that really does set you apart, I think, as a retailer, having been lucky enough to experience the service and now become, you know, friends with you, is that it's not sort of fake. You know, you genuinely build these great relationships with your customers. And it really is astonishing to see it, because I see it right across your business. And it's so important, customer services, in any type of industry. So tell us a bit about that. I mean, do you get taught it? How do you achieve it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we learn at work is through osmosis. We spend a lot of time with senior team members who are very experienced at what they do, and they are very generous with their time and teaching us how to go about taking care of your customer base. A lot of it is event focused as well, so we'll do anything from a small in-shop ladies lunch. A couple of Christmases ago we had a wreath making class. We do quite a lot of mother and daughter things, really, really nice. And then we'll do bigger company events. We sponsor the Boodles Tennis at Stoke Park, which is probably one of our biggest events of the year. And a lot of it is it's getting to know people. If people enjoy spending time with you, they'll want to come back and spend time with you. And, you know, it goes both ways. We have a lovely day, and hopefully we're helping fulfill somebody's need for a birthday present or a wedding anniversary or an engagement.
I'm sure there's lots goes on behind the scenes that, you know, the client doesn't see, which is sort of the nitty gritty graft. What sorts of things go on there?
Yeah, I mean, our job is to make it look as glamorous as it can be, and nobody needs to see what goes on behind the scenes. We're lucky to have an incredible support network in our diamond department, our designers, and our admin teams. Things from stacking boxes. We have beautiful packaging, but it's no good if you don't have a box ready as and when you need it. There's no job that's too small, whether you're a manager or a junior. You've really just got to make sure that the shop is ready and looking its best at all times. You've got to know your stock, so the safe needs to be tidy, where our back stock is kept. You need to make sure that there's ribbon for tying boxes. You need to make sure that champagne is cold, that coffee is delicious and hot and ready to go. We serve delicious chocolate, so they've always got to be ready to go. And it's really a team effort. So if one of your colleagues is sitting in an appointment with one of their clients, it doesn't matter who you are, you've got to be on hand to help them with whatever it is they need.
And you know, traditionally associated with retail are targets, and sort of quite, you know, hard targets as well, so people are only as good as their last sale and things like that. So you know, obviously without giving us any information about, you know, your personal targets or anything, is that a challenge of the job?
Yeah, I mean, in a sales job, it's always going to be. Yeah. At Boodles, we don't work on commission. I have worked on commission for other companies, and it does create a dog-eat-dog kind of scenario. Yeah. We have team targets. Obviously, we have individual ones as well, but they're year-long, so it really doesn't matter from one day to the next who's taking a turn at, you know, a new person that might come to the door.
And that's what creates that sort of team ethic, really, isn't
Absolutely.
It? All working together.
Yeah, and everybody is pleased for each other's successes, genuinely, which is important. It creates a nice bond.
When I talk to particularly young people about careers in retail, and, you know, there are so many opportunities in retail, and so many apprenticeship, you don't have to have a degree to go into retail. I know you have, but you don't have to, do you?
No.
Lots of times I hear people say, sales is not for me, I hate sales. So would you say that you're just a natural salesperson, or what would you say about sales?
I'd say that to be a good salesperson, you've got to have a bit of a personality and you've got to be able to talk, and that's certainly not something I find difficult.
So you wouldn't traditionally see yourself as a salesperson?
No, then? And I would be horrified if people did.
Right.
I think we... are fulfilling a need. When somebody comes in, nobody needs jewellery. It's a luxury purchase. But it, for women who buy for themselves, it's empowering. For men who buy for their wives, it's a lovely thing to do. And we are hopefully helping
lovely,
them.
Isn't lovely, actually, just that point, that women buying jewellery for themselves, that's more and more common now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, very much
and
so.
And it is empowering,
yes,
for women to be able to stride in and think, right, well, I've seen that, I like it, yeah, I want it, I'm going to buy it. But tell us a little bit more about this whole thing about sales and people disliking sales. See whether, you know, we can maybe sort of inspire some listeners about the good things about sales.
I mean, in my role, I would say that it's 90% hospitality and 10% sales.
Yeah.
It's a lot about relationships. So it's building relationships. It's, I mean, we're very lucky to work with a product that's very easy to get excited
people
about.
Want it. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's a lot to learn. So,
yes,
yes, you're selling it. Yes, you do need to sell it. However, it's not that difficult to make your client excited about it if
no,
you have all of the knowledge and they've come in already wanting some jewellery.
And the other aspects of your role, you've got two other big aspects of it. One is management of your team,
yes,
and management of the shop. And then the other is sort of running events, really. So tell us a bit about that.
So from a day-to-day point of view, I mean, my role is to make sure that my team is happy. I'm in Dublin, I'm an assistant manager. At the Savoy, I was the manager. And generally speaking, you've got to make sure that your team is supported, that they're happy, that they're all getting on with each other, which, you know, when you've got men, women and different ages, you know, you've always got something happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to events, it's sort of, if it's an in-shop one, it's my role to make sure that it looks the part, that it's we've created the right environment for our customers to come in and enjoy themselves.
And what would you say then are the key skills that someone needs to have or to cultivate in order to be successful in your role?
I think a work ethic is key, really. Having a bit of personality, being able to talk.
And a lot of that is asking questions, isn't
it? It's asking questions.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, we all know people who you sit down with and you think it's been nice listening to you.
Yes. Yeah.
It's important to be able to ask appropriate questions, ask friendly questions. It's not all about the sale necessarily. You know, we know a lot about our customers' holidays, their dogs, their children. And being interested in people is crucial, I think.
Yeah.
A work ethic and being interested in people, I think, is top notch in our job.
And where could this role lead to in terms of sort of next steps? Not necessarily for you, but someone in your role. What sorts of transitions? Because you're very young in your career.
Yeah.
Lots of years left for you to develop your career. So what other things could it lead to?
I mean, the world is your oyster. In a company like Boodles, it's a family-owned company. So, there is a natural ceiling as the top roles are filled by family members.
Yeah.
But that's not the same in any luxury company. So you can go all the way to the top to CEO.
So you could transfer to another company,
yeah,
and
certainly
follow that sort of corporate career ladder, really.
Absolutely. You can stay in retail. I mean, I think a job like this gives you a grounding in lots of different aspects of luxury. So something like a luxury hotel, perhaps, you know, a bigger company, you could stay in jewellery. If you can sell jewellery, you can sell anything. You've got to be excited about the product,
yes,
and you've got to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't sell cars, it doesn't mean that you can't sell, you know, houses. Obviously you need some qualifications for,
yeah,
that kind of thing, but
it's client service and it's in your particular case it's about being able to deal with discerning clients,
yes,
and you know, sort of helping them make the right selection for,
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
So for people that are now inspired to want to follow in your footsteps, whether they are still at school, college, university, or even midlife, deciding that they want to transition from, you know, their current career to,
yeah,
something else, what would you suggest?
I think some of the best advice I was given at the beginning when I was considering a sales role was to go and do a mystery shop. I mean, I was 23, so the chances of me buying a large diamond were pretty slim. And it was a friend who said, you know, coin a story, something like you've inherited a little bit of money and you'd like to buy yourself a pair of diamond studs to remember a relative or something like that, and go in and have a look and see how you are treated in that shop, see what the customer service is like, essentially. So do you have a nice time? How do you feel when you're in there? And how do you feel when you leave? And if it's an environment that you think, yeah, this is something that I would quite like to be able to cultivate, you're probably in the right place. Hand in your CV. If you get an interview, I would be as personable as possible. And being able to sell yourself in a way that is modest, but also with a bit of personality. Don't hold back, because that's what makes you individual and makes you interesting to spend time with.
Absolutely. And for people that maybe feel, well, I'm a bit intimidated by going into something that high end at this point, and I'd like to sort of start maybe, you know, slightly more, let's say, high street or whatever. Would it matter what type of retail they go into?
I think any kind of interaction with the general public is vital for a place on your CV. If you've had interactions with people and you've been able to enhance their day, if you're selling them a coffee, we all know places where we like to go for coffee,
yes,
because somebody has a, you know, couple of nice lines of chat in the morning, or they smile at you, or they do something nice for you and you feel buoyed up when you leave. That's the kind of job you need to have, and that's the kind of experience you need.
And would you say that individuals who want to go into, you know, the jewellery industry should take that qualification that you mentioned?
I mean, it's not 100% necessary. At Boodles, we have a scattering of gemologists throughout the business, so we're well supported with knowledge. When our juniors start, if they don't have any qualifications, most people have a degree. Is it necessary? Probably not. If you're able to sell yourself and you've got a good handshake and a firm opinion of yourself whenever you go in, you're probably doing all right. A gemology qualification is useful. A lot of our juniors are supported with what's called the JET program. So it used to be called the RJ DIP, I think, the Retail Jewelers Diploma. And it's a basic grounding in gemstones, gold, and all of the things that we know on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So generally speaking, once our juniors pass through their probationary period of 6 months, we'll get them on the JET program.
Wow, so the company actually sponsors them.
Yeah.
Another question about qualifications. How essential is a degree?
I mean, these days, quite a lot of people have a degree. So if you have a degree from a university that people recognise, you know, it's a bit of a box ticked, I suppose. It's still a piece of paper. You know, if you went to a university and you have a first in something, but you don't have any people skills, then you're not going to be very good in the sales role. You might be very good at other things. But for the job that I do, I would say that having a bit of common sense and a personality is much more important.
Okay, well, it's been so useful, I think, this conversation, because I know myself that there are a huge number of opportunities in retail, and we do lots of retail apprenticeships for those that don't want to go to university. But in fact, those apprenticeships can start at level 2, which is actually GCSE level, and they can go all the way through to level 7, which is master's level.
Mm.
So it's a great opportunity, because there's such a demand in retail, for somebody to step into an industry where there's longevity, opportunities to swap across different products, and an opportunity to be learning, achieving their qualifications. So it's been really great. Thank you so much. Really enlightening.
Thank you for having me.
And so if people want to ask you more questions specifically, what's the best way that they could contact you?
I mean, email is probably best. My LinkedIn is very unimpressive, but email, I'm sophiestyles@boodles.com.
And that's Styles, STYLES.
No relation to Harry.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Angela.